Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life. Hello, friend. I am so grateful to have you join me for today's conversation. I get to chat with Brandi Cummings all about nutrition from a functional medicine perspective for prenatal and postnatal clients. She shares on the sometimes touchy and possibly dogmatic topic with such grace and wisdom. Brandi Cummings is a certified nutrition consultant. After years of battling her own health struggles and infertility, she eventually unlocked her happy place to finally thrive and welcomed a beautiful, healthy baby girl into the world. Regaining her health was a long, laborious, and frustrating process where she knew she needed to help other women to finally thrive. This is why she started Thriving Vitality. She wants you to be thriving, full of vitality, so that you and your clients can live the life that you want for yourself and for your family. I am so excited to hear what you learned from this episode. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Brandi Cummings. Good morning, Brandi. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fabulous. I'm excited to be talking to you. It's always fun to talk to someone who's a neighbor.
Right? I know. I love finding the local peeps.
It's awesome. So you're another Pacific Northwest girl. I love it. So for my listeners who don't know you, could you share a little bit about what you do, who you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a functional nutritionist, and I work with people who are in the preconception to postpartum timeframe of their life. I call this timeframe the pannatal timeframe. Couldn't really find a word that meant that whole period from, you know, way before you conceive to all the way, you know, much later after you've given birth. And so I made a word up. And so that's kind of what I focus on now. And I started really being passionate about this group of people after, you know, going through my own kind of pannatal journey. And what I found is that there were consistently gaps in support. And for example, when I was in the preconception period, you know, I had a miscarriage, and I literally got kicked out of like the urgent care. Like, they wouldn't even see me. The nurse was taking my vitals, and the doctor just kind of burst in and was like, "Hey, it's like, stop before you get any further. Like, there's nothing we can do. You have to go home." And I just had no answers to any questions. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know how to go through that process, how to think about supporting fertility, how to think about, you know, trying again. I had just no support at all around that. And then, you know, when I was pregnant, again, just more gaps in support, specifically, you know, around nutrition, and looking at things like my thyroid and if there's any maybe autoimmunity going on or things like that. And everything was very baby centered, which is great. You know, somebody should have eyes on the baby, but I just felt like, what about me? You know? And I just remember thinking how crazy it was that, you know, my first appointment wasn't even until like the first trimester was almost over. And here I am like coming after a loss and got no support in that, no support, you know, and trying to conceive again. I did conceive, and then no support until I'm like, almost a third of the way through my pregnancy. And then after I gave birth, I just felt like, you know, my postpartum visit was pretty short and sweet. It was very much like, things look good. You know, you can have sex at 6 weeks, you can go back to work at 12 weeks, and you're fine. So I just felt like, again, kind of a reoccurring theme, more gaps in support there. And then just our postpartum culture in general, I just think has a lot of work that we could be doing to support our new mamas and our new families. And so after going through that whole experience, I just thought, you know, as a nutritionist that has been, you know, trained in functional medicine, there's just a lot that I can do to really help fill those gaps, you know, and offer that support that might be missing. So that's how I came to, you know, who I serve now, which I think is pretty common, right? We usually serve the people that we needed to help with, you know, at some point in our lives. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love your story. I love hearing people's stories because I think in this realm, like you said, especially, everyone's got a story of why they're doing what they're doing. And I just think it's really special, the prenatal, postnatal community. And like you said, there isn't a word that encapsulates the entire time frame, especially in, you know, bringing in that the preconception stage.
Yeah.
That, including that in the process.
Totally. I know. That's why I had to make one up. And for me, I really focus a lot on that preconception piece, you know, because it's just so crucial. It's so important for, you know, your health and your healthier pregnancy, your baby's health, but also so important for the health of future generations, you know, kind of this epigenetic inheritance that happens. So I really focus a lot. So it was important for me to include that preconception piece beyond maybe just people who are maybe just struggling with fertility, but also including, you know, in my opinion, all people should have some preconception, you know, health going on before they conceive. So yeah, I just created that word and it just kind of stuck.
That's awesome. I have a question. When it comes to prenatal or preconception work, do you work mostly with the pregnant mamas or do you also work with the hopeful pregnant or, you know, future fathers?
Yes, I always try to get the couple on board. That's ideal. When we're thinking about, you know, egg health, that's great. That's important. But thinking about sperm health is really worth thinking about and getting that other partner on board. So that's always my goal.
Yeah, not necessarily everyone's on the same page at the same time, but when they are, it's kind of fun to
totally
see the whole picture and to work with the whole unit. That's awesome. So I love how, I mean, it's, I don't love it, but the phrasing baby-centered care that you mentioned earlier, it is very easy to see that play out often. And, you know, even when I just remember, and obviously when I was pregnant, it was, you know, 10 years ago now. So who knows exactly how it's approached right now, because the world is changing and I'm grateful that there's more information out there. But basically in the nutrition advice I got, quote unquote, that's in air quotes, from my healthcare providers was like, just don't gain too much weight. Like it was a weight check-in and they were like, okay, just don't gain too much weight. And so it was really, I mean, I would say it was beyond vague. It was really nothing at all. And so, like, let's talk about your care and what you provide, because obviously it's going to be dramatically different than just don't gain weight.
Yeah, totally. I can really relate to that. When I first got pregnant, I was with one practice and I pretty much got the same advice that you did. And I ended up switching care about halfway through my pregnancy. And that was much more in alignment with kind of my own philosophies and how I feel about things. But still, it just wasn't, I mean, knowing what I knew, I just was like, man, why aren't you talking to me about this more? So when I'm working with pregnant people, we are really thinking about how can we, of course, provide the raw materials and nutrients needed to grow a baby. It's a very nutrient-dependent process, and we want to make sure that the baby has all of those raw materials. But also, how do we do that in a way that also keeps the mom really robust and strong and nourished as well. And so when I'm working with people, I really do kind of switch my focus to being very, you know, mom-centered, parent-centered, and not as much baby-centered. And it's not because I don't care about the babies. It's because I know that whatever we do for the mom will trickle down to the baby. And I also know that the baby probably has lots of practitioners with eyes on the baby. So I really kind of focus on the parents. Having, you know, there's kind of some basic things that I think are so important to go over, which might seem like common sense, but I always like to make sure everybody is on the same page. But making sure that we have enough protein. Protein, you know, all of those amino acids really do provide the building blocks. And when we are increasing our blood volume, when we are, you know, growing a baby, having enough protein is really important. When also thinking about enough fat is really important. And I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. We were talking about how, you know, when you're kind of in this nutrition world or like this holistic, maybe functional nutrition world, it's hard to, you can easily forget how everybody is not in that same realm. And I had a client that was following a low fat diet, and I just was so taken aback because I was like, wait, aren't we so past that? Like, didn't that die a long time ago? And I forget, like, the whole world isn't in, you know, my little circle. And so I always like to bring that up. Making sure we have enough fat is crucial. It's crucial for supporting your tissue. It's crucial for brain development. And making sure that we have the right fats is as crucial, because when we have the wrong fats, they're highly inflammatory and highly damaging to the body. And that is definitely something we want to avoid. And so we want to avoid things like canola oil and soybean oil and safflower oil, sunflower oil, vegetable oil. All of these oils are highly processed. They are usually chemically processed, usually, you know, by adding hexane to them. And they're rancid. You know, the things that make fats go bad and oxidize are heat, light, and air. And if you think about a bottle of vegetable oil, like, it's in a clear plastic bottle, right? All the light can go through it. It was highly chemically processed, I'm sure, under high heat, you know, and exposed to air. And then it's sitting on the shelf and the lights are hitting it, and not to mention all of the endocrine disruptors that are in the plastic bottle itself. So they're rancid before you even take them home. So it's just best to avoid all of those as well. And then, of course, making sure we have a nice variety of colorful, you know, fruits and vegetables, making sure that we're getting a nice variety of antioxidants and polyphenols and avoiding high sugar things don't do anything good for our body, which sometimes if we're dealing with some pretty good cravings can be tough. But there are kind of some nutritional things that we can do to help support cravings and other symptoms like morning sickness. And other than that, this is not necessarily nutrition recommendations, but thinking about really avoiding your environmental exposure to things. You know, we kind of touched on the plastics. That's just a very small piece, but all of those environmental pollutants and toxicants make a huge difference. You know, I'm sure you've seen like studies where the cord blood of babies just have hundreds of chemicals in it, you know, so that's a big problem and something that we really need to focus on. And other than that, I think that's kind of the surface level basics to lay a good foundation.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love how you're you're talking in a way that isn't so rigid of like only eat these things, but it's also like, we're going to be really informed and know that, you know, these choices are not going to serve us. They're not going to nourish us and our babies. So that's awesome. Let's back up a little bit, if you're okay with that, and talk about that fertility journey that a lot of people are on. And it's such a sensitive subject. It's such an emotional subject. It's so just fraught with uncertainty. And like you said, unless you're going to go in and pay for a specialist, most people are navigating that unsupported. And so how do you approach, because I know, I mean, it's so cool that you, not cool, that you've walked through your own journey, but it's really powerful that you have that similar experience. So I think you could probably connect in a very just compassionate way to that group. How do you process through, because it is emotional. So it's also, it's not just, you know, a transfer of data of like, okay, eat this, don't eat this, like go home, have fun. How do you process that stage of support for your clients?
Yeah, that's, I love that you bring up the emotional piece, because it really is. And it's an interesting thing that after you've gone through a loss, particularly a miscarriage, it's like the conversation is that it was 100% up to chance. You know, like everyone I talked to was like, oh, you know, sorry, but it's totally normal. You know, it's nothing you did or what, you know, it's just 100% like up to chance is kind of the conversation that was being had around me by the people that I did talk to about it. And I think it's important to definitely address, you know, any guilt that you might be feeling or anything like that. I think it's really important to process through that. But I also think it's important to know, like, you do have some power. And I think that that can really help women, is just feeling more empowered and being aware of things that can increase chance of miscarriage. And what can you do now that we have this information, right? There's, when we know better, we can do better. You know, there's a lot of power in having this knowledge. And so I think kind of shifting that conversation and kind of give some of that power back to them. That doesn't mean that things don't still happen. I mean, it does. And we can't predict that, you know, all we can do is the very best that we can. But I think that giving some of that power back to them so that they can control the controllables, right? There's a lot in pregnancy that we can't control. But there's a lot that we can that we aren't controlling. So let's control the controllables and then not stress about the uncontrollables, you know? So I really like to acknowledge that emotional piece. If there's any, you know, if it was a real traumatic experience, which going through a loss, I think there's always some degree of trauma there. But if it was a particularly traumatic experience, or if there's any past childhood trauma, I think that it's really important to address this. And this is something that I always am asking for, am looking for, because when there's past childhood trauma present, the chances of getting an autoimmune condition dramatically go up. And when we're thinking about having a baby, postpartum autoimmunity is extremely common, much more common than people are talking about. You know, over 40% of women that have an autoimmune condition report having symptoms like within the first year of giving birth. And so I think that addressing that past childhood trauma before you have conceived, I don't recommend, you know, kind of drumming this stuff up after you're pregnant. But before you have conceived, if we can address some of that trauma, and I don't do this myself, it's out of my scope, but I am always referring out for this because it's just amazing the progress I see my clients make. But when we can do like some EMDR or some other forms of therapy to really kind of lift that blueprint off the body, it's amazing how much how much improvement on a physiological level they can make once we address that trauma. So that's another piece that I'm, you know, acutely aware of in that preconception period.
That's awesome. And I am such a huge proponent of integrating parts of our bodies that we like to separate. We like to separate our mind. We like to separate our emotions. We like to separate our physical body. And we act like that they can just, we can put them in a little box and just tinker around and figure them out. And yet we're one body, we're one unit, and every aspect influences the other. And so for you to just be so empowered as a practitioner, because I think sometimes there's some fear in referring out of like, oh, you know, like, but this is my client. And, you know, we can be a little bit fear-based or sometimes ego-based, and to just be like, I can treat this. And then there's other parts of you that can find healing, and we'll see so much more improvement in this aspect of your life. And so, yeah, emotional trauma, all of that support and healing makes a massive improvement. And I, you know, work in the physical realm as far as like movement and pain. And when people are willing to go there and work on that, you know, the trauma and find healing there, they'll see a huge improvement in things like range of motion or pain or mobility, all of that. And it's just so crazy to me how connected we are as a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have no qualms with referring people. And I'm one of the things I talk about a lot with my clients is like, who's on your team? You know, who's got your back? Who's on your healthcare team? You know, having a birth team that you love, that is aligned with your philosophies and, you know, is there to support you 100%, you know, maybe having a nutritionist, you know, somebody like me, maybe having some bodywork practitioners, you know, chiropractor, acupuncturist, all of these things can just make the experience of being pregnant or getting pregnant, being pregnant, having a baby, you know, raising a baby, just makes everything so much easier when you have that support. So yeah, I'm all for whoever you can bring on your team that is going to, you know, have your back. Let's do it.
Yes, I love that, creating a team. And also just even the slight verbal change of not who's on the baby's team, but who's on your team, like who's supporting you as a mom, not just who's supporting the baby. So I love that. When we're talking about, you know, I love your focus on the preconception stage. So I think I want to hang out here for another minute before we move on. When you're processing this, I think it's really good. I just want to hear your process just so the practitioners can kind of get a sense of what you offer and how you offer it and how powerful it could be. Because especially around loss. So I myself have had two miscarriages. And so I just remember like curling up on the couch, and my husband went and got Panda Express because like it was like I wasn't going to be in the kitchen on my feet doing anything. Like I was processing emotionally, and he was just in that space of like he wanted to come back and be next to me as quickly as possible. And so it was like the quickest, the fastest solution. But looking back, clearly that wasn't the most supportive thing for me, even, you know, mentally, like it wasn't going to feed me or support me in that space. And so I just think creating awareness that there are people you can pull on your team in that time frame, because I think what you have talked about of there, once you've miscarried, there, it seems to be that there's very few options of people you can recruit to be on your team. It's like, okay, it's over. Like the pregnancy is over. We're sorry. And like, it's normal. You'll heal. It'll be fine. And yet for us to create a new narrative on this is a separate time frame and that you can pull people onto your team to support you. So can you talk a little bit about the support you provide during maybe the miscarriage or even because I think miscarriage and infertility both are similar and different, but like they have similarities around them. So like, how do you support and how do you kind of come alongside and be on their team in that time frame?
That's a really good question. So when I have somebody that is in the midst of a loss, well, honestly, I don't have a lot of customers or clients where it's freshly happened. You know, usually it takes a while, people process and then they reach out like, okay, what are we going to do differently? And then they seek out more support. So I catch them at that point. And I think that there's a lot we can do nutritionally to really support healing, you know, to get people to boost their fertility, to get people in a physical state where they're really ready to carry on a pregnancy. So my process is, you know, we have this very in-depth intake process. It might be a little overboard. It's really in-depth and really involved. And then I meet with them and hopefully I'm meeting with the couple and I, you know, go through all of their intake paperwork, any past labs or anything. And then I just kind of get an idea of them as an entire person. And this is where kind of looking at things through a functional medicine lens really, really helps out. So I'm looking at them as an entire person, not just a certain lab result or not just the miscarriage they just had. I'm looking at really their whole life and going back to when their mom was pregnant with them and how her pregnancy went and how their birth was and how their childhood was. And I'm uncovering all these experiences and all of these life events. And I build this timeline. And by doing that, I'm able to kind of pick out things that may still be impacting their fertility now, things that they might not even have thought about could ever be possibly connected. But I take all this information and I put it in a visual format so that it's easy to see. And that's a real eye-opening and empowering experience, kind of having that visual of their life kind of mapped out in front of them. And they're like, wow, you're right. Like, this is the time in my life where I started struggling with health, or all of these things added together, you know, I can really understand where my body is needing more support. So after we go through that process, then it kind of gives me an idea of where to start. And this can mean, you know, very specific nutrition recommendations. It could mean, like I said, you know, really addressing some past trauma, or anytime there's a loss, I really encourage bringing a mental health professional on board and just being able to process those emotions and talk about it and just work through anything that might be coming up for you. For me, when I went through that experience, I just thought it was so odd learning how common it was. I had no idea at the time. And then I learned this and I was like, really? That's a really high percentage and nobody's talking about this. I mean, once you kind of go through that experience, you kind of, you know, you find more people that have gone through that experience, the world kind of opens up to you. But before that, it's like, I had no idea. Like, people are not talking about it. It's kind of a bit of a taboo subject. And that can be really hard. There can be a lot of guilt or shame or other negative emotions that come up from going through that. So bringing a mental health professional on board to help process through some of that is just so crucial. And then as we're kind of working through, you know, we go through the nutrition piece, we look at we look at your sleep hygiene and your circadian rhythm and your hormones and your gut health and your relationships and the past trauma, like I said, you know, your hydration, your movement, your stress resilience. We kind of work through all of these layers, and it's a real in-depth process, but all of these things are connected and everything matters. And so to just focus on like eat this, not that, is really doing a disservice by ignoring all of those other areas of health that are really, can really have a big impact, because everything is connected. And so we just work through all of these layers and do everything we can to kind of bring the body back to a state of, you know, homeostasis, back to a state where, you know, maybe on a cellular level, the body really feels safe and able and ready to conceive and grow a baby. And it can be a lot of work up front. But I mean, the rewards are just so huge, you know, after going through this process of really bringing your health back to a state of balance, really.
That's awesome. Okay. So now I just want to get pregnant again so I can work with you. I'm like, yes. Oh, so that's fabulous. I just love all of that. I mean, I'm also in this world, so I love talking about this, but so little shift, actually big shift working. So you're a nutritionist. So I've got you on the line here. So I'm just going to pick your brain. So a lot of birth workers are either on call or they're working like a swing shift, but specifically the on-call life can be really stressful to the body. It can be really stressful emotionally. Like while they're happy to serve and they love their job and they love what they're doing, hopefully, and there's still that element of external stressors. And so how do you recommend supporting the body with nutrition, like in a non-ideal situation? So the idea of like, okay, I've got to drop everything and I'm heading out the door. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone for, because I don't know how long this birth is going to be. So, you know, it's so easy to grab a quick sugar-filled granola bar, or even to minimize their own needs of, I'm just going to be out the door. I'm going to take care of my client. And it's almost like they put themselves on the back burner. So what are just some simple, but real practical ways that we can approach nutrition for ourselves?
Yeah, I think this is so important. When I was giving birth, I was in active labor for 39 hours, and I had a doula that was there with me and awake for almost that entire time. And I just remember like telling her, man, you need to get paid more. You know, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how she was just there and so present and never once like rushed me or made me feel bad or just unbelievable. I just have such an amazing amount of respect for birth workers in general. Like, wow, amazing. So when we're thinking about these kind of marathon times where they are high stress, maybe low sleep, I think having, you know, if you just have like a small little like cooler bag, soft, you know, soft shell bag. I do this all the time, like for my kiddo. It's just in my fridge and it just has things ready to go so that when we're leaving, I just have to take it out of the fridge and put like an ice pack in it and I'm out the door. And I think that the same kind of technique can really help birth workers. Having things that are high, you know, high in protein and fat are going to be better than having things that are high in sugar. So if you could have, you know, a couple hard boiled eggs, or if you could have maybe like some cooked shrimp or some jerky that doesn't even need to stay cold, that would be awesome. Also, having like some broth, I think, can just be really enjoyable, you know, get yourself a little bit of protein, you know, a little bit of salt, some electrolytes going on. And there are shelf stable broths. Most of them I don't recommend, but there's a shelf stable brand called Kettle and Fire, which I kind of approve their process and the quality of their bones. So I think that that is the best shelf stable broth on the market. And that, you know, you can heat up if you can, but honestly, you could just have it cold, you know, if you're kind of stuck and you're just in the need of something. Those are kind of surface, I would call them kind of surface level recommendations, you know, just techniques to get some good quality nutrition in. Nuts and olives, I think, are also great to go snacks. And also dried coconut that doesn't have any sulfites in it. That's another great option. But all of those things are great and amazing. But I think if we look a little deeper and look a little bit more cellularly, you know, I'm sure you're aware of like the mitochondria in your cells. And most people, mm-hmm. when we talk about mitochondria, the first thing that comes up is like the powerhouse of the cells, right? We always immediately like go back to ninth grade biology and somehow we all remember that saying. But the realization about mitochondria is that they do so much more than be the powerhouse of the cells. That's a huge job. And they're responsible, you know, for making ATP and making the energy of your cells, which when you're in kind of a long birth, that's so important. If your mitochondria are feeling kind of bogged down and sluggish, it's going to make you overall feel like that. And during times of low sleep, you know, high stress, maybe if we're eating, you know, those granola bars or high sugar, these are the things that are going to kind of bog down our mitochondria. And in the mitochondria, there's lots of processes that are happening, you know, that production of ATP, like we talked about, you know, to make the energy of the cell, but, you know, the electron transport chain is happening, the Krebs cycle, all of these really important cycles are happening, which we don't have to dive into what exactly all of those mean. But the point is, if your mitochondria cannot operate and see all of these processes through in an efficient way, you're not going to have the stamina that you need to endure an event like this. And so things that you can kind of do to support your mitochondria, several of those processes I mentioned in the mitochondria require lots of B vitamins. If we don't have enough B vitamins, then there's several stages in each one of these processes that kind of slow down. So having enough B vitamins, having enough carnitine, CoQ10, and creatine, those are also equally as important. So where do we get all of these things? You know, if you're working with a practitioner or somebody, you can supplement these things. But organ meats and shellfish, huge sources of all of these things. Also huge source of zinc, which is also very important for your mitochondria. So if there's some way you can get organ meat, especially liver, high quality really matters when we're eating organ meat. So high quality and shellfish, you're really going to be giving your mitochondria a huge boost in the very basic raw materials that they need to even function. And then in addition to that, they also really like a nice variety of antioxidants. So, you know, if you can bring high colorful things, there's a brand of olive oil that I love called Casandrinos, and olive oil is another really important thing to get high quality because most olive oil is cut with rancid oils and it doesn't have to be labeled, which drives me crazy. And that's a whole nother conversation, but getting really good olive oil is crucial. And there's a brand called Casandrinos that I love. And when you buy their olive oil online, they have an option where it's just like individual like single serving packs, which would be great if you're on a birth because it gives you a nice source of really good quality fat. And there's also a good amount of polyphenols, which is a type of antioxidant in really good quality olive oil. So things like that, that would be great. Glutathione or N-acetylcysteine, which is the precursor to glutathione, that's kind of like the master antioxidant. Those can really help your mitochondria. And, you know, you can get these in supplement form. And I think that having this just kind of cocktail of things, maybe a little supplements, you know, if it's cleared with your doctor or practitioner or whatever, but, and these really nutrient dense foods are just going to just saturate you on a cellular level. That is then going to make it so much easier for you to have the stamina that you need to kind of endure a long labor or birth or something in the middle of the night or something like that.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much for your expertise there. So thank you for sharing so much of your wisdom and of your time. So for my listeners who want to hear more from you, where can they find you? Are you on social media? Do you have a website?
Yeah, so my website is thrivingvitalityllc.com. And that is also my social media handles, thrivingvitalityllc. So makes it easy, but everything's the same.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for sharing and for your wisdom. Is there anything you'd want to wrap up with?
I think we covered a lot. I'm just so thankful for, you know, you and this podcast and anything that we can do to just, you know, really fill those gaps and offer that needed support to our mamas and our new families is just amazing. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for all you do and for being such an important player on so many people's teams. I appreciate it. I found that episode super empowering, and I hope you did too. I love women who can take sometimes touchy topics and bring so much balance and wisdom into play without compromising. If you're wanting to learn more from Brandy, be sure to visit her website and see all the wonderful services she provides. If you're enjoying these conversations, would you do me a favor? If you could subscribe and rate the podcast and share with another birth worker in your own life, that would just make my day. I'm so grateful for you, for your service to this community, and for your very precious time. I'll chat with you again soon. The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.